are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. The era of the Pajama Boys is back. On the program today, moments ago, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announces the intention of the Trump administration to end DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, within 6 months. Meanwhile, Trump administration attempting tax reform, a debt ceiling, or averting a debt ceiling crash, attempting also to institute a budget and to pay for emergency funding for the devastation of Harvey and perhaps the oncoming devastation of Irma. Meanwhile, this past week, we've been out and the Mueller investigation has been very busy, essentially moving into playing with the house money, if you will. Google gave a lesson in the powers of monopoly this past week. Arpaio pardoned and Gorka excused.
These two.
The window to repeal Obamacare is closing, but the plan to destroy it just beginning by this administration. And will we see the P-tape before we see nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula?
Not if I had anything to do with it.
The Menendez trial starts in New Jersey. And all that and more, much more, ladies and gentlemen, on today's program. We are back from our vacation. We are all well rested, as it were. As it were. I mean, we did our best. Yeah, some news happened over the past week. I mean, just even on that Friday night, a week from last Friday, was pretty intense. Somewhere I have my notes here. I have literally 200 pages of notes. But just on that Friday night, on that Friday the 25th, which was the last live day of this show, Gary Cohn was facing a lot of heat. Remember this? He was critical of, I don't know if you can remember, way back when, 2 weeks ago, when the president basically said that Nazis were equivalent to people who were out there counter-protesting against Nazis. And really, when you juxtapose that, I saw some clip, maybe it was from Hayes' Labor Day show yesterday. Someone made the point of, you juxtapose Donald Trump's launching of his campaign, where the Mexicans coming in are rapists and bad people. I'm sure some of them were good. Versus most of the people who were there with the Nazis were good. I'm sure some of them were bad. So that was on Friday the 25th. On that same day, a leaker from the Mueller investigation, investigating whether or not Michael Flynn was actively seeking emails from Russian hackers. Emails of Hillary Clinton's from Russian hackers. You also had Mnuchin, fresh off of his wife's faux pas in both claiming that they were American royalty, and also not so correct on whether or not they took a taxpayer-funded jaunt down to, well, look at bars of gold.
She's a feisty one, okay? Yeah.
North Korea launched a missile over Japan. Arpaio was pardoned, and Gorka took a one-way trip in his Mustang, I think, off the grounds of the White House. And Harvey was about to reach landfall, or just had, in Houston. That was all on Friday of a week and a half ago. So a classic. Well, I want to say this past week was insane, but Michael made the point in the office that all of the weeks are insane now. And September, and what we're going to do today is talk, obviously, quite a bit about DACA, but we're also going to set up what we can anticipate going forward in terms of this month, which I think is going to be, well, certainly, I don't know how it can be less crazy, but I'm not sure how it can be more crazy. I guess we'll see. Just a reminder, I want to thank you. We had some in our absence, and I hope you enjoyed the shows that we had pre-recorded. These are great interviews that if you did not catch them, I would recommend you go back and check out. I don't like to pick favorites, but my favorites were the Hammer and Hoe interview with Professor Kelly. And then also, was it Rothstein on the
Color of Law?
That is a stunning, really it's just stunning truth about the consistency of our official policy in this country to segregate, even through the New Deal. And the implications of that are enormous. And I think if you've been a regular listener of this show, you will find that interview to be really important. So I would check that out on Fridays. And also, I think we did a bonus from Ring of Fire on the myth of drug expiration dates. Also fascinating. And I should tell you, a lot of folks became members this week. Not a lot, but some. And which is, I'm always surprised when we're not actively asking people to become members. So I appreciate that. It makes this show possible. And I will tell you, in addition to making this show possible when you become a member, it also we also give you bonus content every day. Most days. This week it was some great deep archive shows. We got a couple of kudos in the emails, Matt. And also, I should also remind you, it's commercial free. So if you ever get annoyed with all the commercials that sometimes, you know, and they seem to come in bunches and you don't want them, another reason to become a member. I'll also say this, and then that we'll have no more, we will not speculate until that moment arrives, but there will be an announcement from one person in this office, and there's four of us now, right now in this office, Matt, Kelly, Michael, me, who will be talking about their future plans.
I'm opening a baseball card shop and getting away from my family. Hello? Can you all do my show?
Well, like I said, speculation.
I'm going far away. I blocked. I didn't know you could block people on an iPhone.
Is that true? When it comes to snacks, I know that if you're like me, it feels like sometimes the only options are delicious and a billion calories. Incidentally, I got huge over the vacation. I mean, I have got to drop some weight, or I'm not going to be able to wear long pants again unless I go out and buy a whole new wardrobe. Or you get boring and tasteless. It does not have to be that way. You can up your snack game with NatureBox. NatureBox has over 100 snacks that taste good and are made from high-quality, simple ingredients. That means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Do you really want to give your kids that type of stuff? like just a bag full of chemicals? Matt Bender, if you're listening. So you can feel good about what you're eating. They got great ones. Honey Dijon pretzels, vanilla bean wafers. And the good thing about it is it both satisfies my intense craving for sweet food and, frankly, savory, for basically for food. But without a tremendous amount of calories. I mean, anybody see me, like, there's really nothing you can put in the office that I won't immediately gravitate towards. Plus, they add new snacks inspired by real customer feedback on a regular basis. It's super simple. Just go to naturebox.com, choose the snacks you want. NatureBox will deliver them right to your door. There's no risk. If you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering our listeners three free snacks with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/majority. That's naturebox.com/majority for three free snacks with your first order, naturebox.com/majority. Oh, and folks, right before we left for vacation, I was a bit of a hero in my parts because I surprised Nikki with some flowers. Yes.
I did it as a trick to lay the groundwork for the great escape.
Exactly. And it was all because Pro Flowers made it so easy. It's part of their great escape program. That's not true.
But an idea.
But it is an idea. If Pro Flowers picks that up, sometimes, like, I didn't realize he was gone for days because there were so much flowers in my house.
Let me wet my beak on that, Pro Flowers.
Now, Pro Flowers, they make it easy for you to surprise someone. And they make it even easier with a special offer for you guys. Send Pro Flowers colorful rainbow roses and get 20% off this collection or any other of their unique exclusive bouquets of $29 or more. ProFlowers.com makes choosing the perfect surprise bouquet simple and quick. You get to pick the exact date that your unexpected surprise will arrive. So, for instance, if you're trying to coordinate with flights out of the country, whatever it is. Plus, the flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. It's more bloom for your buck. To get 20% off your rainbow roses or any other bouquet of $29 or more, go to proflowers.com. Use my code CEDAR, that's my last name, S-E-D-E-R, at checkout. That's proflowers.com, code CEDAR. Don't wait to make someone's day. Let's play a clip of, well, I mean, I guess, do we have a clip of Sessions on DACA? All right, well, let's get that in a minute. I mean, let's see. Well, this is a good clip to start with. Here is Bush and Reagan. Back in the 1980 Republican primary, George Herbert Walker Bush ran against Ronald Reagan, not the esteemed caller of this show who has his own podcast.
Redirect
on immigration law.
And has a better immigration
record. You said
record.
You weren't going to promote it.
No, I didn't. I'm not promoting it. I'm mentioning it. I will say this, that tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now that's cold.
In competition. And this, he's really throwing down the gauntlet here.
He really is. That is so cold.
TMBS, the Michael Brooks Show, goes live at 7 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel and on our audio feed. And apparently, Ronald Reagan is throwing down a gauntlet and saying it should only be an hour long because at 8 p.m. Eastern, he's going to be doing a Facebook Live Ask Him Anything to discuss DACA and immigration. All right.
Can always listen to Michael's show at any time you like.
That's also true.
That is right.
And that's true. So do you watch it twice? Listen to it twice.
You could listen to it like all day, every day.
That's true. All right, so here is a debate between George Herbert Walker Bush, who ran against Ronald Reagan in the 1980 Republican primary. Ultimately, Reagan chose George Herbert Walker Bush as his vice president. Reagan served for two terms, if you'll recall. Then George Herbert Walker Bush won in 1988 against Michael Dukakis, served for one term, and then was defeated by Bill Clinton. But just to give you a sense, we're talking about now 37 years ago, approximately, probably very close to the date, maybe a little bit earlier. Reagan and Bush debated over immigration policies. And just listen to the tone and the substance of this debate on immigration between two Republican candidates for the presidency in 1980.
Aliens should be allowed to attend Texas public schools free, or do you think that their parents should pay for their education?
Who are you addressing?
All right, pause it for one second. Now, I should just say the question was, because it got a little bit clipped, do you think that undocumented immigrants should be able to go to public schools in Texas? And here is George Herbert Walker Bush.
Who are you addressing that to?
I think you're first in this.
Looking right at you. I said he was. Look, I'd like to see something done about the illegal alien problem that would be so sensitive and so understanding about labor needs and human needs that that problem wouldn't come up. But today, if those people are here, I would reluctantly say I think they would get whatever it is that they're, you know, what the society is giving to their neighbors. But the problem has to be solved. The problem has to be solved because as we have kind of made illegal some kinds of labor that I'd like to see legal, we're doing two things. We're creating a whole society of really honorable, decent, family-loving people that are in violation of the law, and secondly, we're exacerbating relations with Mexico. The answer to your question is much more fundamental than whether they attend Houston schools, it seems to me. I don't want to see a whole, if they're living here, I don't want to see a whole thing of 6- and 8-year-old kids being made, you know, one totally uneducated and made to feel that they're living with outside the law. Let's address ourselves to the fundamentals. These are good people, strong people. Part of my family is a Mexican.
Can I add to that? I think the time has come that the United States and our neighbors, particularly our neighbor to the south, should have a better understanding and a better relationship than we've ever had. And I think that we haven't been sensitive enough to our size and our power. They have a problem of 40% to 50% unemployment. Now, this cannot continue without the possibility arising with regard to that other country that we talked about, of Cuba and what it is stirring up, of the possibility of trouble below the border, and we could have a very hostile and strange neighbor on our border. Rather than making them or talking about putting up a fence, why don't we work out some recognition of our mutual problems, make it possible for them to come here legally with a work permit, and then while they're working and earning here, they pay taxes here. And when they want to go back, they can go back, and they can cross and open the border.
And open the border to them, said Ronald Reagan. Now, you just contemplate. Now, I'm not saying those are there's some problems with what they're suggesting there, the idea of creating a second-class citizenry. The sort of worker permits, I think, are somewhat problematic to a certain extent. But nevertheless, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable where we are today in terms of the Republican Party when it comes to immigration, based upon where the two leading candidates in the Republican primary back in 1980 were, one of whom was considered the most conservative president that we had in modern times. And remind you that Reagan, as president, basically gave amnesty to 3 to 5 million, I think it was, undocumented immigrants at that time. It was NAFTA that then became problematic and drove a lot of Mexican farmers north. So that's just to set the table as to where we are today as we go into this discussion of DACA, which is one of the most shockingly cruel policies that I think we're going to see, that we can see, that is so publicly open, right? Obviously, we do a lot of horrific things as a country. I don't know how to quantify that, a lot, but certainly a number around the world, but we don't quite see it as clearly as we're going to see the implications of this. Before we get to Jeff Sessions' announcement today, if you have inherited an old coin collection, or you simply have an accumulation of coins or currency, you're not sure what to do with it, Littleton Coin is here to help. For over 70 years, Littleton Coin has been helping people just like you sell their coins and currency. As an industry leader in collectible coins and currency, Littleton can pay you more. It's time, folks. You can't sit around with that huge box or even those penny collections that you got in the little books like I have.
I told my dad about this, and he's so excited. He has,
oh, really?
Yeah, because he has the penny collections too. I guess he used to go to the bank and with the special, and they would trade in, and him and his brother, and then look for all the special pennies.
Wow!
And collect them. So he's excited.
Well, my plan is empty out the little books I have, and give Saul the books, and tell him you started your own. As an industry leader in collectible coins and currency, Littleton can pay you more, but more importantly, in my mind anyways, the company's president, David Sundeman, received the ANA, that's the American Numismatic Association, Dealer of the Year Award. Littleton Coin was honored with the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics. So you know these are people you can trust and rely on. And whether you're an experienced collector or someone who needs help identifying what you have in your collection, Littleton Coin Company is the place to sell your U.S. coins and currency. The process, it's incredibly simple. Visit LittletonCoin.com. That's little and then toncoin.com/majority to learn more. Or give them a call toll-free, 877-857-7850. Tell them you heard about it on the Majority Report. All right, let's hear from Jeff Sessions. This is a clip of his announcement today that the Trump administration will be arguing, or I should say, rolling back DACA. This is the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals. In other words, children who came to this country because their parents brought them along, right? Maybe they were 3, maybe they were an infant, maybe they were 10, maybe they were 12, maybe they were 15. Children who came to this country and who have been in this country. And the percentages on what these children have been doing, 95% of DACA recipients under the Obama administration, if you qualified, you would go to immigration officials, you would give them your info, you would give them proof of what you've been doing. There are 800,000 people under this program. You are allowed to live and work lawfully in the United States, but you have to check in. Does not provide a path to citizenship, and you have to check in repeatedly, or regularly, I should say. 95% of DACA recipients are working or in school. 48% got a better job with working or a job with better working conditions after they became DACA compliant. 63% got a better paying job. 90% got a driver's license or state ID. 54% bought their first car. 12% bought their first home. And these are people who haven't been to their countries of their origin in some instances, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. They are American. Many don't speak Spanish. So sending them back to a Spanish-speaking country would be basically like, well, not killing them, but I think, well, I think in some instances, you know, getting sent to some, you know, particularly like Honduras or whatnot. I'm not sure of, but it is, just look at your own kid and imagine if you were just to drop them in some town in Mexico that is completely random to them. So DACA was created, the program, by the Obama administration, basically by saying, as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, we are not going to go after children or people who came to this country as a child by no decision of their own, and are not committing any crimes in this country. And we're going to give them a work visa. And that became known as DACA. There was an attempt to get bills passed. Republicans would not pass a DREAM Act, which would have ensconced us in statutory, would have been statutory, would have been law in this country, as opposed to a essentially regulatory discretion. It's an administrative policy. Very similar to administrative policies like, we will not go into states and arrest people who are smoking pot when it's legal in the states, even though federal law says you cannot smoke marijuana. Or we will not track down every senior citizen who has purchased drugs from Canada in violation of federal law. Why don't we do that? Because we have limited resources. All right, so here is Jeff Sessions. We're going to put aside the morality for a moment of this. We're going to put aside the economics of this. Let's just hear Jeff Sessions justify why they are reversing this policy.
I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. The DACA program was implemented in 2012 and essentially provided a legal status for recipients for a renewable two-year term, worker authorization, and other benefits, including participation in the Social Security program, to 800,000 mostly adult illegal aliens. The policy was implemented unilaterally to great controversy and legal concern after Congress rejected legislative proposals to extend similar benefits on numerous occasions to this same group of illegal aliens. In other words, the executive branch, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch.
Pause it for 1 second. Oh my God. First off, as a matter of law, that is incorrect. First of all, Jeff Sessions, that has not been ruled unconstitutional. Jeff Sessions is not capable of making that assessment unilaterally. You need a court to make that determination. But the Supreme Court has ruled quite often that just because you have a dispute and you have executive authority that may that is legitimate but may run contrary or not even necessarily contrary. It's not necessarily, there's no problem with statute here, direct statute. But just because you have this type of relationship between Congress and the president does not make it unconstitutional on its face. But we will continue.
Branch. The effect of this unilateral executive amnesty, among other things, contributed to a surge of miners at the southern border that yielded terrible humanitarian consequences.
Pause it.
It also did.
That's not what contributed to the surge of miners. What contributed to the surge of miners was Honduras becoming the most dangerous place in the world to live. Period. The murder capital of the world. Continue. That's that it? So the lies that they're having to put out here, because here's the bottom line. And we should say, in terms of the authority, it is clear that the government, the executive branch, has the authority to create policies around discretion in terms of where resources are spent, right? I mean, it's quite obvious. You look at it in terms of whether or not the federal government is going to go after people who are smoking pot in states that make it legal, or even people smoking pot in states that make it illegal. If the federal government wanted to nail pot smokers, they could send out teams of people into college dormitories all around the country, and they'd be busy 24/7. They don't do that. And there's a policy that we don't do that. And then the authority to give working permits is based on a 1986 law that specifically permits employment of aliens who are authorized to be employed by the Attorney General. So now, the Trump administration certainly can reverse this policy. They are well within their rights to do so. But to claim they're doing it because of the law is a lie. To claim that they're doing it because this policy brought a surge 3 years ago of kids from countries where the danger of them being killed was so extreme is just a lie. This is, and the 6 month waiting for Congress to do this is basically just their way of showing cowardice. We're going to pretend this is not on us. We're going to pretend that we're obligated by the law. Now, there's a lawsuit that has been filed by about 10 states, conservative states, with conservative race-mongering attorney generals that are trying to sue the Trump administration or have threatened to sue the Trump administration if they don't reverse this policy. But if you really want to know the answer to the question, is this constitutional, let that lawsuit go forward. Defend the administration's right to do this. But they won't do it. So as a matter of law, their argument is BS. As a matter of consequence, their argument is BS. As a matter of keeping us safe, their argument is BS. As a matter of economics, their argument is BS. Here is Ali Velshi on MSNBC. And again, Trump administration certainly can reverse this DACA policy. They're well within their rights. It's cruel. It's inhumane. It's absurd. It's a waste. It's not founded on any legal principles, but they can do it. But to make any of those justifications is a lie, and the economics of it is also a lie. Here is Ali Velshi basically pulling apart that lie.
Secondly, Google, Facebook, and Apple wanting cheap labor. Average salary at Google is $121,000. At Apple, it's $87,000. And Facebook, it's $138,000 before bonuses. This isn't about cheap labor. Issue number three, United States has a negative worker replacement rate, which means we have to have immigrants. Now, if you're looking at your basket of undocumented immigrants and you're focused, as Donald Trump says he is, on those who are the worst and the criminals and the gangs and the thugs and the bad hombres, this is the opposite side of that equation. Their average age 26, some as old as 36, came in at the age of 6, all speak English, 45% in school, most of them working. And if they commit a crime, we get to track them because of this visa, and they get thrown out of the country. There is possibly no better group of undocumented immigrants that you actually want in the country. So, Kerry, you and I speak the same language from the perspective of economics and GDP growth, which you talked about, and increasing GDP growth. We need more workers. We need them to be productive. And one final thing. Let's say I'm a DACA person. I'm 26 years old. I'm making money legally above the table. This is for me. This is for the government. This is for me. This is for the government. This is probably for the government. So all that deficit and GDP growth and jobs, this part goes to the government. This part I spend to make companies hire people. I'm good for the economy any way you slice this. Ending DACA doesn't make sense. And to your final point on the legality of DACA, let Congress do it and then make it completely legal. We can solve this problem. Throwing these 800,000 people out is not the solution. I have to put my money back in my wallet.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, from an economic perspective, as if you need to justify it that way, there's no doubt that having these people in our country is anything but a bonus for our economy. And did he mention there that we're running out of workers, too? These folks are going to be paying our Social Security.
And remember, the real drive of this policy is Steve King, which is you can't save your culture with somebody else's babies.
That's
the honest description of this policy.
Of course. And that's what, and if there was going to be any honesty about this policy, instead of it just being dog whistled to the Steve Kings, that's what it would be. Jeff Sessions would have been up there and said, we need to make our country white again. And this is an easy, low-hanging way to do it. And I know my fine ICE officials were going to enjoy going and visiting these people at their place of work or their schools. And they're going to feel much more comfortable. They're not going to have to use their Spanish and or any other language. And they're just going to be able to arrest them and deport them in English.
You boys, don't be bashful now, boys. Get yourself to work.
And so now the question is, will the Republicans in Congress, will they pass a version of the DREAM Act? In the House, I think it's 3591. In the Senate, it's 1615. And the pressure is going to be on them, because the buck stops with the president. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just so disgusting. And these stories, there was a story, and many of you probably may have heard of this already. I don't know. In the Houston Chronicle. I mean, this is without even talking about, you know, you can talk about the legality of it. You can talk about the economics of it. And I wouldn't even call it the morality. I mean, it's just about being, maybe it is morality. I don't know. But the idea of being completely unnecessarily cruel, and it's sadistic is what it is. It's sadistic. Here's a story of Alonzo Guillen. He was a 31-year-old disc jockey from Lufkin. I guess that's a town in Texas. And he disappeared last Wednesday around midnight. This was after he was out with two friends on their boat trying to rescue people. Their boat hit a bridge over a creek and capsized. One of them was rescued after clinging to a tree in the rushing water. But days later, Guillen and his friend Thomas Carrion were still missing. Ultimately, their bodies were found by this past weekend. Guillen's father, Jesus Guillen, said he'd asked his son not to try to rescue people in the storm, but his son insisted, saying he wanted to help people. Guillen's father is was born in Piedras Negras, Mexico. He brought his son to Lufkin as when his son was a teenager. He was a recipient, this is Alonzo Guillen, was a recipient of DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. His father is a lawful permanent resident. But a lot of times what happens when these kids are brought in here, the paperwork is not filed or gets punted. The kids don't know. The parents don't want the kids to feel like they're different. So Alonzo Guillen was a DACA childhood arrival program member. His mother was still in the application process for legal status. They will not let his mother in to the country to go to the funeral in Houston. She was turned back at the border. She is 62 years old and will not be there for the burial of her son. This stuff is just a statistic. And all of those 800,000 people who registered with the federal government for the DACA program, who are in school, who are working, who are buying homes, starting families, they are now just sitting and wondering, will I be sent to a country that I know nothing about? That is completely foreign to me. It's nothing more than just sadism. I mean, I guess it's also racism, but it is sadistic. And the Republican Party brought us this in the form of Donald Trump. And they better respond to it. It's just horrible. Just horrible. And hopefully we'll hear from Ronald Reagan in the fun half about this. Meanwhile, catching up on the week. Maybe we should go back to his pardoning of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Maybe, and I guess this is an argument, but he may be the most famous racist that we have in the country. Is it possible? Maybe just this week. I mean, aside from the president himself.
There is a reigning champion.
I'm just saying that Arpaio as a, it's not like, at least Trump is also president, right? That's why we know Trump's name. But
Arpaio just has the longest list of demonstrable racism and horrific.
He's actually done stuff.
Racist acts.
Like real
stuff.
Let me put it this way. The one of the most famous non-elected at the moment racists in the country. That I think that's a safe way of doing it. Right? Like national fame. I mean, I'm sure like if you lived in like North Carolina, you'd have a long list of people that you're
aware of. Wait till he challenges Jeff Flake.
Right, exactly. Here is Donald Trump last week. And now, remember, I mean, contemplate this, okay? Now, over the past 10 days, Donald Trump refuses to come out and announce his own reversal of Obama's policy on DACA, right? Sends Sessions out there to do it. And, of course, Jeff Sessions, this is the way I'm going to make sure I stay in the administration by proving that I can be the one to handle all the darky policies. And then Trump, also in another sign of abject weakness and cowardice, pardons Arpaio Friday night, right? What did he do at about like 8 p.m.? And this is Trump defending the timing of the decision on Monday, I guess it was. Here he is with a question from, Roberts? Is that it? John Roberts. Okay.
In the middle of Hurricane Harvey hitting on Friday night, you chose to pardon former Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I wonder if you could tell us what was behind your thinking for issuing a pardon for the sheriff. And as well, what do you say to your critics, even some in your own party, who say it was the wrong thing to do?
Well, a lot of people think it was the right thing to do, John. And actually, in the middle of a hurricane, even though it was a Friday evening, I assumed the ratings would be far higher than they would be normally. You know, the hurricane was just starting. And I put it out that I had pardoned, as we say, Sheriff Joe. He's done a great job for the people of Arizona. He's very strong on borders, very strong on illegal immigration. He is loved in Arizona. Sheriff Joe is a patriot. Sheriff Joe loves our country. Sheriff Joe protected our borders. And Sheriff Joe was very unfairly treated by the Obama administration, especially right before an election that he would have won. So, and he was elected many times. So I stand by my pardon of Sheriff Joe. And I think the people of Arizona who really know him best would agree with me. Thank you very much.
That's my statement. So Sheriff Joe was guilty of contempt of court for violating a federal judge's order to stop being so blatantly racist and with his abject treatment of prisoners, including immigrants and other detainees. He had these outdoor tent cities in the Arizona desert heat. He routinely disparaged Latinos, calling them things like wetbacks, Mexican bitches, effing Mexicans, and stupid Mexicans. He would publicly humiliate prisoners. He would handcuff and detain children and pregnant women on his immigration raids. He sent his taxpayer-paid deputies to Hawaii to secure President Obama's birth certificate. Like I say, he was my partner. He made me. In many ways, he made me.
In a certain sense. I mean, I made myself.
He made the prisoners wear pink underpants for some reason.
Yep. It was a racial profiling case where he was violating a judge's order. According to the Phoenix New Times, they listed some of the stories that they had in covering Arpaio for more than 20 years. Among the 20-some-odd stories, I mean, some of the 20-some-odd stories that she listed over those 20 years, he ran a jail that he described as a concentration camp. Prisoners died at an alarming rate, often without explanation. One of his jailers nearly broke the neck of a paraplegic guy who had the temerity to ask for a catheter. He marched Latino prisoners into a segregated area with electric fencing as a publicity stunt. He invited visitors to its website to vote for the mugshot of the day to mock the photos of Latino detainees. Under Arpaio, the department failed to investigate hundreds of sex abuse cases, many which involved children. According to reporter Ray Stern, in February 2012, rapists and child molesters got away with their crimes. There was the story of Ambrit Spencer, one of nearly 1,600 pregnant women who went through Arpaio's jails. She was 9 months pregnant, had internal bleeding. Jail officials ignored it. Her baby died. They waited nearly 4 hours to get her to the delivery room. Her baby died from blood loss. I mean, just insane. The Arpaio jail, I guess, guards tried to prevent her from seeing the baby before they buried it. So that's the guy that Donald Trump calls his partner and pardoned in the middle of when he thought there would be a lot of ratings.
He, Arpaio, arrested some of those reporters from the publication that you just named, and they sued and won.
Yeah. Like almost $8-9 million, yeah. I think. Yeah, crazy.
From the police department, not from Arpaio, I'm assuming. That
right, of course.
Correct, yes, of course.
So then Harvey hits, and we've got a lot of stories about Harvey. I mean, many of the that you may have heard, ranging from, and obviously, you know, over 50 dead at this point, maybe more. I mean, still many, many missing. But just amongst, you know, the Harvey stories, and we can't get to all of them, obviously, and who knows what we'll be talking about in a couple of days with Irma. But the important things to keep in mind about Houston, in the broadest sense, obviously, government cannot prevent the weather. Governments, largely speaking, can help mitigate the climate crisis that statistically will increase the chances of having once in 100-year storms that we now have far more frequently. Government can also begin to address climate change by looking at the sustainability of certain cities, of how they're built and where they're located. Houston officials were told that they had a problem with floods. There was a ProPublica piece in 2016, I think it was. And when the Harris County Flood Control District chief was presented with sweeping evidence that Houston was a sitting duck for the next big hurricane, he dismissed the report, saying scientists have an agenda, and their agenda is to protect the environment overrides common sense. It would be funny were it not for all the dead people and the incredible amount of destruction. And understand that this is going to be one of those rolling disasters, because you've already seen the release of 1 million pounds of of extra air pollutants that supersede government levels for safety. This is from oil refineries, from that Arkema chemical plant in Crosby, Texas. But you got shale drilling sites. Chemicals released this week, in the week after Harvey, that made landfall, according to the Washington Post, including benzene, 1,3-butadiene, hexane, hydrogen sulfide, sulfur dioxide, toluene, xylene. All seven chemicals are toxic air pollutants documented to harm human health. Several cause cancer. Other emissions would bring to total more than 5 million pounds. This is according to the Center for Biological Diversity. You have multiple Superfund sites that the EPA says, well, we can't get to, but the two that we got to were fine. Well, the AP went to seven. Somehow they got there. These Superfund sites are now fully flooded. You've got reports. Well, not reports. I mean, David Sirota did a piece, and Alex Koch over at the International Business Times. The French company that says its Houston area chemical plant is spewing noxious smoke and may explode successfully pressed federal regulators to delay new regulations designed to improve safety of procedures at chemical plants. This is according to federal records they reviewed. The rules were set to go in effect this year. They were halted by the Trump administration after a lobbying campaign by Arkema, the American Chemistry Council as well. The effort to stop the chemical plant safety rules was backed by top Texas Republican lawmakers. That facility housed large amounts of toxic sulfur dioxide and flammable methyl propane. That required Arkema to submit a risk management plan to the EPA, and that would have subjected the company to strengthened safety rules. But those rules, which would have taken effect in March of this year, 6 months ago, were blocked by Scott Pruitt, the current EPA chief. Before Harvey, Houston sought funding to mitigate floods, but Congress refused. They had a tax day flood in April. 16 people died. So Representative Al Green introduced a bill to fund $311 million for the Harris County Flood Control District. The Republicans in Congress killed that. There was a law change. It took place just a couple of days ago, making it harder to file a lawsuit against insurance companies who are slow or refusing to pay claims for floods. And incidentally, speaking of insurance, flooding insurance, we need a reauthorization of the National Flood Insurance Program this month, in addition with the Child Health Initiative Program and the FAA. Good luck with that. Republican governance. In the fun half, I will talk about that story. We got it. Another like rash of stories of like, they're such a proud people in Texas. They don't like to take federal money. However, in this situation, it's different. Here is Donald Trump. When was this? What was this? Just 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Talking about all the heavy lifting he's been doing in Houston. And he's really impressed with what he's seen. There's some bad, but the good part is, look what it's done for me, just personally.
It's been really nice. It's been a wonderful thing. It's as tough as this was, it's been a wonderful thing. I think even for the country to watch and for the world to watch. It's been beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really difficult for the people who've gone through it. But for me, I think it's been good. Overall, I would say great, actually. Great.
Tough stuff.
Not just great. First of all, great because, I mean, look, it makes me feel good about me. I feel good about me.
The president goes to the disaster zone and he sees all of these sad little people scurrying around trying to get away from the water. And he goes, hey, here's a fucking food bucket. They go, thank you, Mr. Trump. And he feels great. You know, in a certain sense, it's working.
What I would say is this. There's times where you're sitting in that White House, you're feeling bad for yourself.
That's right.
And you come out and you look at this. And it actually, I think it's been very healthy for me. Very healthy.
So in a certain sense, there should be more hurricanes. So why would you fund disaster relief if the president feels better with more human suffering in a certain way?
I don't want to do too much traveling, but I definitely feel like I need to do this at least every 6 months to appreciate what I have. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's all we're trying to tell General Kelly.
And look at the coat. Look at the coat.
It's a great coat.
Cool coat.
It's a great coat.
Cool coat.
In a certain sense.
Goes with the hat. Do you know how many USA hats we have sold? I mean, through the roof.
Oh, my God.
Through the roof. Honestly, like, you know, I get emails.
What the hell?
I get emails. Somebody, I should say, this is actually pretty funny. Somebody signed me up on our majorityreporters@gmail.com account for DonaldJTrump.com. And incidentally,
what do you mean someone signed you up?
I didn't sign up for it to get emails from them.
Who did it then?
Well,
a secret.
I know that it had to be a fan of the show because he signed up as the name Cuck.
I see.
So they always come in, Cuck, comma. We wanted to reach out before the sale ends. There's a official Trump gear for 25% off Labor Day sale. Use the coupon code Labor Day. I mean, they're marketing off of this shit.
I know. That's what everyone's saying, but I would just like to float the theory that Donald Trump has to wear a hat in unknown wind situations. And so there is no choice about the hat.
He could wear
wearing
a Navy hat. He could wear a FEMA hat. He could wear like a million things that aren't. I mean, you're right.
Okay.
But
I mean,
they
right.
doesn't contradict
like,
selling
you're
his
both,
product.
You're both right.
Both right, exactly.
It's called
exactly.
It's making
it's called
lemonade.
It's a twofer.
From lemons.
It's called making scamming these morons again. These people that voted for me are so stupid. It's the Saul Rosenberg thing. And then I can wear the hat and that way more money. Do you see?
This is actually going to work out great.
It's going to work out great.
It's a good thing I have this problem in my head.
Harvey is actually good for GDP, but specifically my GDP in a certain sense.
Folks, we're going to head into the fun half. The number is 646-257-3920. It is your support that makes this show possible. By becoming a member, you make us be possible. Oh, before we go, we have an announcement.
Very good alliteration.
Thank you. What was it? Did Matt say have what was it?
I said we both said you had very good alliteration there.
That's not alliteration, is it?
No.
I don't know what they're talking
rhyming.
My mistake. Well, it's sort of, I guess it's rhyming.
I just rhymed.
I'm rhyming, guys.
You rhymed yourself.
I rhymed the same word.
Is when you
that's
start
all right.
with the same letter.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to get the ability. We're not going to have the ability going forward. I mean, actually, after this Friday, we will not have the ability to have such grammatical corrections. Kelly has an announcement to make. Hold on.
I'm not sure it warrants a drum roll.
Well, it's actually the start of Uber Alles. Okay.
Yeah, I am, sadly, I'm very sad, almost crying, but leaving the show.
Mom! Mom! Mom!
did you do that to me?
Betty Machasa.
Wait, so tell us what's happening.
I actually kind of like that for this. I am going to, I took a position as an associate editor at TYT Politics. So,
Bigfooted.
So they've hired a managing editor who is,
I wouldn't give too much information. Is this all public?
What's his address?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure,
oh, okay.
Sure.
What's his? No, I wish I could do a jank impression right now and say that you, of course, you got schlonged.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm poaching your talent.
Because
they're building up one of their verticals.
They're building it up. That's why I was going to say they've hired a managing editor who is, seems brilliant. And I am excited to... Oh, Sam. Sam's making that face because he knows him. And
well, but that's not just that. I mean, I'm sure he's brilliant, but I don't understand. That's why you're going?
There'll be a certain level of professionalism and brilliance at the top that was maybe lacking in your previous position. Do you understand what I'm saying,
Samantha?
True
to yourselves to the end. Let me just say what I'm saying.
You want to work for brilliant people. I get it.
You're brilliant, of course.
Yes, of course, Samantha.
The reason I'm saying any of this is because
they're not denses.
Is because, of course, our audience, who is a lot of them are very loyal to.
You're going to try and poach our audience?
No, who's very loyal to the Majority Report and is going to bash me for going to TYT?
No, it's just because honestly,
I'm just saying they're
going
to build up the TYT politics, and I'm excited because you know it seems like I'm going to be working under someone.
TYT Politics, boo.
Well, they can actually pay.
TYT
I mean, they
politics,
can actually pay.
No, I'm just
they can pay.
Right.
That's not the problem.
There will be a paycheck.
There's no problem.
And
I mean,
also
just...
maybe a leadership with a certain intelligence. If you know what I'm saying, Samantha. I think
that's
Kelly would like
understand.
To work that's... under someone that she thinks has a certain caliber of intellect.
No, I mean
professionalism is lacking in your operation.
I'm just saying it because I know everyone's going to bash TYT.
What? No, they're not.
On my Twitter.
What are you talking about? Of course not.
Well, they love you.
When Dorsey left the show, old Dorsey.
Oh my God.
He went to...
I'm telling him you said that. He's going to like cry and lock himself in his
room. As opposed to new Dorsey, who is now referred to as old Matt because of new Matt. But originally, old Matt was referred to as Norsey for the new Dorsey.
I know.
I mean, it's just, there's an evolution here. But he went on to BuzzFeed.
He went on to BuzzFeed when BuzzFeed was...
a king.
No.
I mean, not king. Prince.
No, they
Duke.
Were... He was very early.
He was super early.
He was,
of course,
excellent stock options early.
Yeah. Oh, well,
definitely.
Certain caliber of leadership.
Right. He wanted also, right, of course.
I am incredibly sad to leave the show. There's so many reasons why. And I mean, I will be.
Seems like only yesterday that we just started here.
I know, Matt. I'm gonna miss you guys, and I really will. And I'm still gonna be. I'm gonna be on this Friday, and I'm still gonna be running the YouTube channel for a while. And I will become a listener, just like everybody else.
Wow. Sad.
Wow. Sad.
So Friday. All right.
I love the Majority Report.
Is there
going to
be a good? Hopefully, there's a good. We should try to get a
cake,
Judy Gold, and cake for Friday.
We'll see
if possible.
First of all, we're not going to have any cake. I'm not going to eat. I'm on a diet.
Yeah, of course not. Right,
but maybe we'll have a crudité.
Great leadership, Samantha.
I love Judy Gold, and it's probably a tie. But I requested someone.
She requested somebody. I'm going to go out to that guy. We'll see right now.
Yeah, who I hope. Just because, you know, they've got two different things going on, but equally funny to me, I think, that I like.
All right. Well, there it is. We will have time to ruminate on this, and we'll have like maybe an AC AMA of our own on Friday, Kelly.
What? AKA.
AMA.
Ask Kelly anything.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
That I told you on the phone yesterday. I don't want a whole thing on Friday, with the IMs.
It won't be a whole
That's
thing.
That's a whole thing. I don't want a thing.
I don't think a whole thing.
Why you go to Young Turks? They suck.
Ah, sorry. Why don't you go talk to your genius new boss?
Why are you going?
By the way, everybody, Sam's known about this. I didn't just like, it wasn't a slap in the face. He's known about it for the whole time.
15 minutes before today's show.
How does it feel to get screwed, Samantha?
5 minutes after any step of it happened.
If people could please reference people that are about to get hired by Hayes just to screw Samantha over again, I would appreciate that.
We did get footed on an intern. We had tremendous intern. I remember she was lined up
She reached out directly to me and was like, and I just remember because I talked to a couple of interns and Kelly's, you know, like we haven't had like they're all our Noah was amazing too.
Yeah.
So we've had good interns. So all of the interns that I spoke to were really good. But I just remember getting on the phone with her and just being like, I mean, yes, she was exceptionally on point. And I said, hey, can you give him like a bullet points of a couple of ideas for our social media? And she wrote like a social media calendar and plan. And I was like, oh,
wait,
okay.
Where is that?
It was used. This was used. It was a while ago. But by Matt, old Matt and I.
Old Matt and you both, you got together and did it? Or was it old Matt?
Goodbye. Fuck you forever. Goodbye. Thank you.
Be real. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, the
goodbye.
Long story short. She anyway, called she us and she's like, Chris Hayes' program offered me. and I went in one time and I'm like, oh, she's like, hi, I was going to be an intern.
Oh my God. What was the position that she got?
Well,
she's
just intern, summer intern.
Ah, I see.
But
maybe
incidentally,
I'll get...
she's out there. I don't know if she's looking for work. I don't know if she graduated by now.
Hayes got in Sam's face and he went, you got schlonged.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising.
Hayes and I got
maybe I will go. Can I get in your seat and be on camera for 5 minutes or something on Friday?
During the AKA? I mean, that would be the logical time to do it. What are you going to do for 5 minutes? Just stare into the kid? Just stare?
I don't know. You could tell me jokes and then I laugh at them. Yes, the AKA, but like it literally isn't Ask Me Anything because I know you guys.
All right,
can I do that?
Yeah, I would. I would hold the whole Ask Anything in check.
We'll see.
I would ask anything within tight parameters.
If I get to read it, then it's ask what I would like to answer program.
Well, we'll see about that too. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break.
Do
head
we
into
want
the
to in. Honor of Gorka quitting as well. Do we want to play the DJ Danarchy Gorka remix song? Yeah. I have it queued up.
On the way out?
Yeah, instead of
okay, we'll do that. We're going to head into the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll take your IMs. Don't forget, you can support this program by buying your coffee from justcoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. And if you buy your crap from Amazon or jet.com, do so through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Quick break, then we will be back with the fun half.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Danarchy. The alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you could imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just wanna degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman!
Alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.